Path Music.
Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in,
Beautiful. And our next hymn is number 16. I invite you to please rise as your spirits and bodies allow and join in singing "Tis a Gift to Be Simple." Please rise. Please stay standing as we sing this next one. Just sing after me. The trick. If you know I'm making a mistake, just do the thing you know is right and ignore me. I clearly was not being here now, so let me try that again. What I'm going to invite you to do is you'll sing that, and at a certain point I will invite you to greet your neighbors as we're singing, okay? So, be, 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 be. Generally got it? I will keep doing the call and response, so all you have to do is what I'm doing. And as you're doing it, I invite you to greet your neighbors. Be.
Be.
Greet your neighbors.
Be. Be here. Be here. Be here. Be here. Be here now. Be here now. Be here now. Together, be here now together. Be, be, be here, be here, be here now, be here now, be here now together. Be here now. Be here now together.
From your belly.
Be here now together.
It's amazing when I say in your belly and it sounds like, woo, it's awesome. Please be seated.
Good morning. Welcome to First Unitarian Church of Alton. My name is Sabrina. We are a unique place. In the words of Reverend Chris Shiner, every Unitarian Universalist has the right to develop a personal philosophy of life without being told what to believe. We can learn from all philosophies and religions, and also from science and the arts. We explore life issues in a caring community, united by shared values rather than the shared theological opinions. And no matter what we do believe about theology or philosophy, we try to live a good life and leave the world better than we found it.
Oh, cool.
I offer my welcome to you, and in particular to those of you who are first-time visitors. We welcome you and especially encourage you to join us after worship for coffee and conversation. Information about the church is available from the new member desk during coffee hour and from any of the people here gathered. We invite you to fill out one of the visitor cards found in the back of your hymnal and place it in the offering plate or give it to an usher, and we'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about the programs and activities going on here at the church. We are glad you're here and hope to see you again on future Sundays. We do have a professionally staffed nursery for infants and young children, and we welcome everyone into this home of comfort, spirit, justice, and hope. Are there any announcements?
Good morning. My name is Reverend Sunshine Jeremiah Wolf. I am the interim minister here at the First Unitarian Church of Alton. What that means is I'm here on a temporary contract. I will be concluding my work here in July of next year. In the meantime, this congregation is in search for a settled minister. If you are a member of the search committee, could you please stand for a moment? If you have questions about the search process, these are the folks to speak to. Yes. Thank you. I have announcements, but they're on that one. Let me have that back. Sorry. So here are a couple of things. Our pagans, I do believe one of our pagans suggested that they would be willing to do cleansing of the stones that we place in the water. We have a batch of stones that are ready to be cleansed. So if you are interested in helping with that, please talk to me after the service. On June 21st, the next Sunday after services, we will be having a special conversation because of a bit of a conflict that happened on Sharona's Facebook page. I want to thank Sharona for being patient and present through that whole process. If you were involved in that, or if you're interested in talking about what it feels like to be welcome or not welcome here in this congregation, particularly as a person who is oppressed or privileged, which means everybody, you are welcome to attend that conversation. General Assembly is coming up in a week and a half. It is coming up soon. For those who do not know, General Assembly is our annual association gathering. This year it's in Portland, Oregon. The Ware lecturer, who is the main person speaking and has been renowned people such as Martin Luther King Jr. and Karen Armstrong and many others. This year it is Dr. Cornell West. It will be aired via live stream, and so if you are interested in having a live stream event here at the church, please let me know. I need somebody who'd be willing to help coordinate that. Otherwise, you can also look on it at home. All of the worship services, all of the assemblies, and most of the major events will be viewed or aired on live stream, so you can participate anywhere you are at. How many folks were at Campfest this week? Yes. I went on Tuesday and Wednesday. It was a lot of fun. I have about 500 bug bites on me, but other than that, I had a fabulous time. And I understand that no one won Hunger Games because folks decided to swim instead. I think that's a healthy decision. And pasta and then swim? Yes. I think that's a good self-care plan for anybody. Eat pasta and then swim. I think that's the recommendation from our youth. So we had a wonderful time. If you do not know what Campfest is, It's our annual gathering, and it will happen again next year. So I'm glad it went well, and I want to offer special thanks to Sarah and to Juliet, who I think are probably both at home recovering, for their particular organization, and to the many volunteers who made it possible. Also, summer schedule. We are on a 10 o'clock service through the rest of the summer. Every Sunday will be intergenerational. Our worship associates are working hard to make sure that they continue to be welcoming and affirming and are something that's good for all ages. I will be gone for General Assembly from the 21st to the 29th, but I will be available via phone. And then starting July 4th, I will be gone for a month, with the exception of the 25th for a very special wedding. So, yes. So just know that if you need something from me, you need to talk to me soon. That's the point. Got it? And I do believe that concludes this morning's announcements. So we begin our service today with a prelude.
This morning's call to worship is by Daniel Cantor, and it's called To Love Life. To love life is to notice the wonders that abound, and to notice the wonders that abound is to be grounded here and now. And to be grounded here and now is the beginning of finding love for this life today. Let us ground ourselves in this instant in the worship of all things good and right.
And as lyric, you're not lighting our chalice? Who's lighting our chalice?
I thought you were.
No?
No.
Ben is lighting our chalice. As Ben lights our chalice, I invite you to join me in reciting our covenant and also engaging in the hand motions, which I'll do as we go. So love is the spirit of this church, and service is its law. This is our covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. And I invite you to please rise as your spirits and bodies allow and join in singing hymn number 38, Morning Has Broken.
I heard that song.
Please stay standing and join in reciting our congregational covenant. To strengthen and nurture our welcoming community with love, compassion, and respect, we covenant together to honor and make space for our diversity, respect our volunteers, leaders, and staff by supporting balance in their lives and in their personal and professional pursuits. Encourage each member to develop a personal spiritual practice that cultivates honesty and acceptance. Remembering our humanness, we acknowledge our imperfection and extend forgiveness to ourselves and others. Engage within our own and the larger community with integrity by taking responsibility for our actions, facilitating right relationships, and living into the journey. Please be seated. I do want to say there is a storm rolling in. So if you hear lightning and thunder and those kinds of things, it's all good. It's happening out there. We're in here. All will be well. I need some volunteers. Some of you might have seen on Facebook, and I think we already have a volunteer who wants to be the heron. She just stands up. I need someone who is... Now, let me explain one of these roles. The boy role, which can be played by any gender. The boy role is throughout the entire story and requires a lot of pretend acting. So you have to really be into this one. Do I have somebody who's willing to be the boy? Maybe I oversold it a bit. Debbie will be the boy. Thank you, Debbie. All right, now I need a monkey. Isabel. Lyric, would you be willing to be the dog? Okay, come on up. And that's all we need for right now. We will, in a little bit, need Leo, the elder wise turtle. So if you think you are an elder wise turtle, we will need you later in the service. So I'm going to read the story. I'm going to move down so you have the stage, and you all are going to act it out for me. Can you do that? Okay, just be careful of the chalice. There once was a boy named Nikolai who sometimes felt uncertain about the right way to act. I want to be a good person, he told his friends, but I don't know the best way to do that. Nikolai's friends understood and they wanted to help him. If only I could find the answers to my three questions, Nikolai continued, then I would always know what to do. My questions are, when is the best time to do things? Who is the most important one? And what is the right thing to do? There's some rhythm in our... Hello, Reverend Mercer. Nikolai's friends considered his first question, when is the best time to do things? Then Sonia the Heron spoke, to know the best time to do things, one must plan in advance, she said. And then Gogol the monkey, who had been rooting through some leaves to find something good to eat, said, you will know when to do things if you watch and pay close attention. And then Pushkin the dog, who was just dozing off, rolled over and said, you can pay attention to everything yourself. You need a pack to keep watch and help you decide when to do things. For example, Gogol the monkey, a coconut is about to fall on your head. Nikolai thought for a moment, and then he asked his second question. Well, who is the most important one? Sonia said, circling up into the sky, those who are closest to heaven. And Gogol, stroking his bruised noggin, those who know how to heal the sick. Growled Pushkin, those who make the rules. You're not going to growl it? There we go. Nikolai thought some more, and then he asked his third question. Well, what is the right thing to do? Sonia said, flying! And Gogol laughed, having fun all the time. and barked Pushkin, fighting. Yeah, there you go. Good job. Then the boy thought for a long while. He loved his friends. He knew they were all trying their best to help him answer his questions, but their answers didn't seem quite right. And then an idea came to him. I know, he thought. I'll ask Leo, the turtle. He has lived a very long time. Surely he will know the answers I am looking for. End of Act One. Thank you. For now. You're good. Well, I might if I can find, Does that story seem familiar to anybody? Anybody know the story by Leo Tolstoy, The Three Questions? It's about an emperor who has the exact three questions. And he's been an emperor a long time, and he wants to do the best in his leadership, but he doesn't know what to do. And he asks his wise advisors, just like our young boy asked his friends, and they all gave different answers, just like our various animals did today. And so he went off up the mountain to seek the wisdom of the wise old hermit. And it's always a wise old hermit, isn't it, up in the mountain somewhere. The thing is that Leo Tolstoy told this story, and he is one of our renowned authors, really amazing author, but this one seemed almost biblical, sacred texty. Could have been from just about any religious tradition that you can imagine, right? And the reason is because these are the questions that we face day in and day out. And every religious tradition has different answers to that question, and every philosophy has different answers to that question. And part of the deal is that we strive in our lives to seek the right thing to do, right? And to know who the right person is, and to know when and how we should do things. And from moment to moment, that can change. Some people say that there's only one answer to these questions, and that's it. For example, there are some people that say that the right person is the one who makes the rules, me. Lyric? The police? Ooh, that's a good one. That's right. Some say God is the right one, right? Or Jesus? Or the path? What are some of the right places to do things? Church. I would hope church, yes. Isabel. In town or wherever you are, absolutely. Lyric? Your house, yeah. Some people say that you won't do the right thing until you're in heaven. Some say the right thing is how we used to do things in the past, right? If only we did it like they did it back in the day, all would be well. You know, if we did it just like our ancestors did. When is the right time to do things? Now. Lyric? Alone? Okay. Some people say the right thing is in the future. In fact, some people will say the right thing will only happen when the world comes to an end and we're all in heaven. And some people say the right thing only happened in the past when things were perfect and golden. And some people say it only happened in the near future. And other people say only if we have this strategic plan and a perfect vision and we do it exactly the right way, then and only then will it happen. Are those right answers? Yes, maybe. I see some doubters shaking their heads. No. Guess what? You're probably all right. We strive to be good and ethical people at the end of the day. And that can be really hard to know because from moment to moment, our ethics or morals may need to change the situation. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about being bullied at school. How many of you were or are currently being bullied at school? Anybody experienced that? I know I did. Got a big punch in the face in seventh grade. Yeah? Bullying is a pretty common thing, and the interesting is it doesn't stop at school. It continues on in adulthood, unfortunately. But the thing is, when you're in a moment and you see somebody else being bullied, what is the right thing to do? Go help them. or get somebody to help. Maybe it's not to do anything. Maybe it's what? Say that louder, Lyric. Maybe it's to be a bystander. Maybe you're really sick that day, and to get involved would mean you'd get even worse. Or maybe you're the only person who can help. It's not always easy to know what the right thing is to do, even if we know the right thing to do is stop the bullying, right? So that's why these questions are so hard. Because from moment to moment, they can change. So is there really one right answer to these questions? Well, we'll see what our friend Debbie learns a little later in the service. I invite you to please rise as your bodies and spirits allow and join in singing hymn number 16, "'Tis a Gift." Please be seated. Each week we take some time in meditation and in presence and in grace to be with one another in the joys and sorrows, celebrations, and difficulties of our lives. We do this in a few different ways, starting with a ritual of cleansing. As you enter into our worship hall each Sunday, you will notice bowls that contains stones that you can grab at the beginning of the service or during the time of the ritual cleansing. We have stones in the bowl right here beneath our water bowl. I invite you to take a stone from the bowls or multiple stones representing all those joys and concerns, sorrows and celebrations in your life, and to rest them into the cleansing water of this community. At the end of each month, our pagan community has agreed to cleanse those stones so that they may be reused, and so that your needs, your blessings, may be healed by the earth. I invite those who have a joy or sorrow, celebration or concern, to come forward and place a stone or stones in the bowl at this time. When I breathe in peace. When I breathe out love. When I breathe in peace. When I breathe out love. Join in singing. When I breathe in peace. I breathe out love when I breathe in. I breathe in peace when I breathe out. I breathe out love when I breathe in. I breathe in peace when I breathe out. I breathe out love. breathe out. I invite you now into a time of meditation, prayer, or contemplation, as is your own personal spiritual practice. And I invite you to be here now together. I invite you to take a deep breath in and out. And so that you can breathe in deeply, so your neighbor can hear you breathe in and out. And one more time, in and out. And this week we have many joys and sorrows, struggles, griefs, celebrations, and hopes. I invite you at this time to share those people, places, or events for which you wish to be considered from the safety of your seat in an embracing meditation. You, Church of Austin. Let's see. For all those named and unnamed, and for those that lie in the silent sanctuary of our hearts, we offer our blessing, our presence, our healing, and our hope. In this meditation time, we consider these words from Thich Nhat Hanh. The miracle is not to walk on water. The miracle is not to walk on water. The miracle is not to walk on water. The miracle is to walk on the green earth. The miracle is to walk on the green earth. The miracle is to walk on the green earth. Dwelling deeply in the moment. Dwelling deeply in the moment. Dwelling deeply in the moment. And feeling truly alive. And feeling truly alive. And feeling truly alive. The miracle is not to walk on water. The miracle is to walk on the green earth, dwelling deeply in the moment and feeling truly alive. Truly alive. I invite you now into a time of silent meditation, prayer, or contemplation. The miracle is not to walk on water. The miracle is to walk on the green earth, dwelling in the deep moment and feeling truly alive. I invite you to take a slow, deep breath in and out and in. And out, and again, so your neighbor can hear you. In and out. May it be so. Thank you.
We receive these gifts gratefully, and we dedicate them to the work of our congregation, welcoming the stranger and upholding religious freedom, honoring human wholeness and caring for our planet. Together, we seek to serve with ever greater love. This morning's offering will be gratefully received. May it be lovingly given.
This pen does not like me. There we go. Please join me in reciting the offertory blessing. To the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love we call community, we dedicate ourselves, and these are offerings. We need our wise turtle. Who will be our wise turtle? Isabel's pointing to Ed. Not sure how Ed feels about that. Our wise turtle. Thank you, Ed. We need a panda mother. Who would like to be our panda bear mother? Somebody who hasn't gone already, preferably an adult. No brave souls. Thank you, Jennifer. All right. And Mary, come on up. I need a panda bear cub. Well, come on up. You can be the mom or the cub. You two figure it out. We have a girl playing a boy. I don't think we really care about which is playing what role. We do need our boy back. Okay. And I think that's all we need. Oh, and at some point, Sonia and Gogol and Pushkin, our heron, our monkey, and our dog, there will be a point when I tell you that you've magically shown back up and you'll run forward, okay? All right, so stay in your seat until then. Here we go. Nikolai hiked up into the mountains where the old turtle lived all alone. So the turtle probably should be up there too. When Nikolai arrived, he found Leo the turtle digging a garden. The turtle was old, and digging was hard for him. "I have three questions, and I came to ask your help," Nikolai said. "When is the best time to do things? Who is the most important one? And what is the right thing to do?" Leo listened carefully, but only smiled. Then he went on with his digging. Nikolai said at last, "You must be tired. Let me help you." And so the turtle gave him his shovel and thanked him. And because it was easier for a young boy to dig than it was for an old turtle, Nikolai kept on digging until all the rows were finished. Don't get any on me. But just as he finished, the wind blew wildly and the rain burst from the darkened clouds. As they moved toward the cottage for shelter, Nikolai suddenly heard a cry for help. And running down the path, he found a panda whose leg had been injured by a fallen tree. That would be the panda mom. The panda mom. Carefully, Nikolai carried her into Leo's house. Good call. And made a splint for her leg with a stick of bamboo. The storm raged on, banging at the doors and windows, and the panda woke up. "Where am I?" she said. "And wait, where is my child?" The boy ran out of the cottage and down the path. The roar of the storm was deafening, pushing against the howling wind and drenching rain. He ran farther into the forest. There he found the panda's child, cold and shivering on the ground. The little panda was scared and wet, but alive. So Nikolai carried her inside and made her warm and dry. Then he laid her in her mother's arms. Leo smiled when he saw what the boy had done. The next morning, the sun was warm, the birds and sang, and all was well with the world. The panda's leg was healing quite nicely, and she thanked Nikolai for saving her and her baby from the storm. And at that moment, Sonia and Gogol and Pushkin arrived to make sure everyone was all right. Flying, flying! Nikolai felt great peace within himself. He had wonderful friends, and he had saved the panda and her child, but he also felt disappointed. He still had not found the answer to his three questions, and so he asked Leo one more time. The turtle looked at the boy. "But your questions have been answered," he said. "They have," said the boy. "Yesterday, if you had not stayed to help me dig my garden, you wouldn't have heard the panda's cries for help in the storm. Therefore, the most important time was the time you spent digging the garden. The most important one at that moment was me. And the most important thing to do was to help me with my garden. Later, when you found the injured panda, the most important time was the time you spent mending her leg and saving her child. And the most important ones were the panda and her baby. And the most important thing to do was to take care of them and make them safe. Remember then that there is only one important time, and that time is now. The most important one is always the one you're with. And the most important thing to do is to do good for the one who is standing at your side. For these, my dear boy, are the answers to what is most important in this world. This is why we are here." The end.
A reading from The Miracle of Mindfulness by Thich Nhat Hanh. Tolstoy's story is like a story out of scripture. It doesn't fall short of any sacred text. We talk about social service, service to the people, service to humanity, service for others who are far away, helping to bring peace in the world, but often we forget that it is the very people, us, that we must live for first of all. If you cannot serve your spouse or child or parent, how are you going to serve society? If you cannot make your own child happy, how do you expect to be able to make anyone else happy? If all our friends in the peace movement or of service communities of any kind do not love and help one another, whom can we love and help? Are we working for other humans, or are we just working for the name of an organization.
So, who's the most important one? Love the one you're with. Isn't that how the song goes? I don't know if I sang it quite right, but it's love the one you're with, right? The one you're with. When is the most important time?
Now.
How many of you are here right now? Interesting how few hands went up right there. How many of you are thinking about all the things you have to do this week and aren't actually here right now? You have nothing to do this week, Phil? Is that what? All right, okay. How many of you are thinking about something that you did wrong or made a mistake or you wish you had done better instead of being here right now? You get my point? We often have 50 things going on in our head, which is why at the very beginning of the service I started singing Be Now instead of Be Here, because I was worried about what was going to happen in the worship service instead of being in the moment, right? We all have those times. We all do it. But the most important time is now. And the reason why these questions are hard is because, as simple as they are extraordinarily hard to do. That's why there are entire religious practices dedicated to helping us do those things. Whole religions centered on the idea, whole psychotherapy businesses based on the idea, right? Whole businesses focused on it. Think about yourself as a parent, for those of you who are parents. How many times do you really respond to what your kid is doing, or how many times do you live out again the play of what you learned as a child? Instead of being here now, you're with the story of your past. Now, the truth is we can't be without our past, but part of the practice of being here now is knowing how we're living that past in the moment, as opposed to living in the past and not being here now. That makes sense? Yes? Okay, good. So the answer is to be here now together. And what is the right thing to do? Isabel? To help? To help the person next to you? To be kind in all you do? Lyric? To be nice? To be nice or to be kind? Because I can be nice to somebody and not be kind at all. Entire forms of communication predicated on that fact. So that part's the harder one, I think. To be here now is one thing. To be with the people you're with is another. But to know what to do is the right thing. That really is a struggle. Because, you know, maybe the best thing for you to do right now is to tune sunshine out and really be thinking about whatever pain is going on in your life or whatever struggle you're facing today. Maybe that is the right thing to do right now. I can't tell you that. That is only for you to know. But the thing about living out our ethical and moral values is that they're complicated and messy. There's no one right or wrong answer at any given moment. And oftentimes the best we can do at any given second is the best we know how to do, which is oftentimes not as good as we would like. Does that make sense? How many of you often feel like you fall short of what you would like to be doing at any given moment? Yeah. That's normal. How many of you allow yourself to feel bad when you fail to do that? That's normal too. The art and the practice of being in the moment, of walking on the green earth, dwelling deeply in the moment and feeling truly alive, is letting yourself be that imperfect person, doing the best you can. That's it. So today's sermon is called Being Micro-Ambitious, and I have to say that I think that the person I'm quoting from this would probably lose it a little bit if he knew I was quoting him. His name is Tim Minchin. Any Tim Minchin fans here? Tim Minchin is an Australian comedian and musician who is an uber atheist, okay? He sings entire songs about how dangerous churches are, how terrible they are, how they encourage all kinds of weird thinking. And of course, I don't think he knows many Unitarian Universalists, but I still think he would struggle with the idea that I was quoting him. He recently got an honorary doctorate of letters from his university in Australia, and he said the following: "You don't have to dream. Americans have entire game shows about living into their dream and achieving the great goal. I advocate passionate dedication to the pursuit of short-term goals. I advocate the passionate dedication to the pursuit of short-term goals. Be micro-ambitious. How many of you feel like you succeed at being micro-ambitious? I tell you, I strive at it. I don't always succeed. Be micro-ambitious. Put your head down and work with pride on whatever is right in front of you. You never know where you might end up. Just be aware the next worthy pursuit will probably appear in the periphery, which is why you should be careful of long-term dreams. If you focus too far in front of you, you won't see the shiny thing out the corner of your eye. Right? You won't see the shiny thing out the corner of your eye. Be micro-ambitious. How many of you love a long-term plan, have a 10-year goal for yourself? Yeah, looking at Mary, like my ones in the house know what we're talking about. It isn't to say that you shouldn't have long-term goals, but you shouldn't let them dictate your lives. Imagine the person who goes to school thinking, I'm going to be a doctor, and they get there, and they really struggle at medicine. They're not that great at biology, but they've committed that 10-year plan. They're going to be a doctor no matter what. And all along the way, they fail to notice that musical instrument that they were born to play, called to, in fact. But they keep going towards that goal of doctor, and it isn't until they're 50 that they finally pick up the instrument and realize this is where their heart has always been. Too often we become focused on the long term, for our families, for our children, for ourselves, and we forget to dwell deeply in the moment and to be truly alive. So being with the task of the moment, with a near future, being micro-ambitious, being passionately dedicated to short-term goals. I love that language, by the way. Passionately dedicated to short-term goals. Having the only goal be for the next hour to drink coffee and be in conversation and have nothing else be of concern to you. What a relief that might be. So I invite you to be here now together. Be here.
Be here.
Be here now.
Be here now.
Be here now together.
Be here now together.
May it be so. I invite you to please rise as your spirits and bodies allow and practice what we preach by singing 1024, Spirit Says Do.
there wasn't